South Africans love American stocks, and we'll find out more about them and how Easy Equities brought these stocks into the remit of many South Africans for as little as $10 investment in a while from Mark Wilkes. But the main story today is, what the heck do we do from here? Mark, it's lovely to be talking with you. And before we go into American shares and what Easy Equities clients, in fact, anybody who's invested in American shares should be doing right now, your own background, I saw, is really interesting. South Africa, you did an LLB through UNISA, so it looks like you really worked hard, presumably doing that part-time, then went to into the derivatives and bond trading areas, worked for a number of stockbroking firms here in South Africa. How did an LLB, which is a legal degree, could have been an advocate on the High Court, prepare you for trading?
Yeah, well, look, the LLB is a fairly recent thing. I'm originally a kind of arts graduate, and I joined the markets. I was on the floor for a short period of time back in the day. And in those days, it was more a kind of case of, well, you're not really going to study what you're going to be doing all the time in a bizarre kind of way. And anyway, for a number of kind of iterations and kind of developments that took place over the years, end up going around the world quite a lot, so a lot of trading for different companies, etc., in London, Amsterdam. Came back to South Africa, married a South African, the usual kind of thing. Fantastic country. Interesting, I think, is probably the best way to put kind of what's going on here. And yeah, great place to be. But yeah, a complicated background, but a fairly deep background in quite a lot of areas.
Well, certainly derivatives trading and bond trading at a time when they were still nascent in the South African market. It's lovely looking through CVs, because the CV often shows you the depth of knowledge that a person has. And I guess from that, from working for companies like JP Morgan, ABN AMRO internationally, then coming back to South Africa and joining up with Charles Savage at Easy Equities nearly 13 years ago is an interesting career choice, given that you've stayed there for as long as you have. Presumably, Charles has made your job really interesting.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Very, very interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, we know the whole story, dynamic and thoroughly interesting company to be involved in. Also taps in for me personally into a number of different areas and experience. So it's not just a case of over-specializing or being kind of channeled into one kind of area. And it is kind of something that, you know, you don't really want to waste all that kind of backdrop of experience. You want to be deploying it and updating it. That's the one side. And then being in a company like Purple and Easy Equities, things are constantly developing and evolving, and participating in that and being involved in that is interesting. The experience is useful. It can also be, you know, it can also hold you back. But if you're pragmatic and can move with the way things are developing, very stimulating, very stimulating.
We're talking today about the US market in particular. And before we go there, I remember when Easy Equities first launched into the offering American shares at low entry rates. In other words, you could buy 10 rands worth of Amazon stock when, in the time before the share split, you had to pay $3,000 for a single Amazon share pretty much anywhere else in the world. So it really made these companies accessible to every man. How big has it become in the whole Easy Equities universe?
Look, it has become large in absolute terms and in terms of impact to the company. Very, very active, something really embraced by retail clients and investors. It's really opened a channel that really previously didn't exist. You know, as you've mentioned, just the simple fact that people can get exposure with insanely small amounts of quantities of cash is a wonderful thing. And they can participate in all of this kind of dramatic and hopefully lucrative activity in the market. It's really great to be a part of that. And you know, we're trying to maintain, expand, develop that that offering to people all the time in various other markets as well. But the US in particular settled down well, expanding continuously. A lot of clients pretty active there. And yeah, very, very topical.
So the top five shares that are held by Easy Equities clients, now we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people presumably in each of these shares, are Tesla number one, Apple number two, Amazon number three, Meta number four, and then an ETF, the Vanguard ETF number five. Those first four, Tesla, Apple, Amazon, Meta, have had a terribly difficult 2022.
Yeah.
A couple of them, you know, really heavy, Tesla and Meta in the past quarter, collapsed almost those share prices. Has there been much panic?
Not really. I mean, as I think Charles has kind of referenced a number of times, the approach of a lot of you know, this is to some degree anecdotal. I'm not offering hard numbers here. Has been that clients have been quite tenacious and stuck with a lot of these particularly tech stocks over the period of what's been happening. Last year was very, very rough. You know, there's no doubt about it. The percentage declines in all of these counters was quite substantial, well, with the exception perhaps of Apple to a certain degree, quite substantial. But, you know, the approach has generally been fairly stoic, has generally been perhaps to even increase holdings into weakening markets, looking at the longer term horizon, maybe putting the macro side, you know, a la Buffett kind of to one side and looking to hold these shares for a considerable period of time. So I would say probably more stoic than you would think, but nonetheless active.
So when we look at your job as VP of risk at Easy Equities, presumably you should be helping both Easy Equities itself and the clients to reduce their risk. And how do you do that when we look at the US markets as of today? What are you seeing that they're going to be doing in 2023, given that we've had such a tumultuous year and a half?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think to a certain degree, our main kind of impetus in market risk is to ensure that the client's desires and wishes in terms of picking up and you know, occasionally kind of selling these counters is enabled in a seamless and fair way, you know, which benefits the clients and to the optimal framework possible, and is also, you know, doesn't put the shareholders of Purple, etc., at risk in terms of execution. That's kind of like the main kind of remit. So a smooth, seamless kind of setup. You know, we trade the clients continuously in and out of the shares, you know, to their wishes. In terms of general kind of approach to market risk and portfolio risk that clients have. Again, it's a difficult one with the particular shares that we've indicated as being the kind of larger traded shares. You can see the kind of phenomena which extends out to broad international markets that are participating in the US, the kind of FANG share kind of attachments as such. So there has been a lot of interest in stocks as extraordinary as Tesla. I mean, the ride of Tesla has been absolutely extraordinary and continues to be so. And yet the clients are embrace this kind of foresight they're being offered. By Mr. Musk, probably the best way to put it. And are kind of going along with the ride and the journey. And that has been quite, at times, quite rewarding for them. So it's difficult to kind of, other than presenting, you know, kind of fair information that's not kind of advice and ensuring that the clients are getting a fair crack of the transaction, which is what we're really after. You know, the rest is largely at the behest of the client. And the decisions they're generally making are not as, how should I put it, crowd or herd as one would expect necessarily.
So we're almost a month in to the new year. How have US equities performed so far?
Well, look, I mean, it's been quite a rally, I suppose, really. I mean, last year was pretty heavy kind of declines. S&P down about 20%, but we've had about a 6% rally so far within the markets. Tech, again, much more volatile. NASDAQ down about 30%, 33% last year, rallied about 10 or 11. These stocks, you know, that we were talking about largely kind of participate within that kind of zone. So we're dealing with a situation where stocks were quite steadily kind of marked down towards the end of last year, and somewhat of a rally at a key moment, I think, in time, even as we speak. You know, with the direction largely up in the air, I suppose, you know, within the next few days.
So having had this rally, maybe wanting to sell out towards the end of last year because of the capitulation, which always comes into markets, which eventually people give up and then they capitulate. And that's the time that shares then really start running again. Did we ever see the capitulation point, or has this rally that we've seen now, is this the beginning of a new run?
Well, that is, I wish I had a little bit of a profound input to give you there, but I'm very much at sea on that myself. Look, from the technician's point of view, we've got three major things which are kind of looking up for the bull kind of scenario, the bull narrative. Inverted head and shoulders formation over the 200-day moving average. It's looking from a technical point of view that hitting it, just overtaking a key kind of resistance line on the way up. So from a technical point of view, people who are very pro technicals will say, well, we're up and away here. Fundamentally, it's a hell of a lot more sophisticated. We've got the scenario with regards to inflation, FOMC. The market has a kind of prevailing narrative at the moment, which seems to be building in 25 bips on Wednesday, plus flattening to maybe even a tapering scenario into quarter two this year. Now, classically, that alone should be enough to get things spiced up and keep on rallying. But when you're getting results from companies, from US side companies, Microsoft, for example, with quite a lot of compression on margins and fairly kind of sketchy to down forward guidance. You've got the key shares, some of which we're discussing today, 30-40% down from highs, previously in the cycle. And you've got a couple of key things missing from a bear market termination, really. You've got the capitulation that you mentioned. You've got the fact that there's been no kind of proper legitimate recessionary market that has rallied without some kind of Fed adjustment to kind of get the kind of ball rolling. And you also had haven't really had any kind of en masse retail, maybe capitulation is part of the whole story. These issues get very complicated. I mean, the retail capitulation we would have experienced in the market 5 or 10 years ago has now been supplanted by ETFs and various other functional investment avenues. And you've got a backdrop of extremely tight kind of a US situation, a lot of kind of moving pieces. Very, very difficult to place and predict. It's becoming a very, very hard market to read in general terms. But the key thing is we've got these significant data points coming up this week. We will be able to pencil in what the FOMC's approach is, BOE's approach, etc., ECB's approach. So we get a kind of maybe a bit of a functional anchoring point for what the perception currently is with regards to the pivot, which is being built into the trading narrative. We've got a little nascent war kind of percolating away and developing away in Ukraine and Russia. We've got stateside first of all, it's interesting that the whole political kind of setup is pretty interesting. We've also got crude reserves which need to be replenished at some stage, which could ultimately have an inflationary guide. So very, very difficult to unpick the key narratives, but it seems to be inflation seems to be the key narrative, and how that's being managed and perceived by the market. I suspect maybe the key factor moving forward over the next two or three quarters.
Mark, I've got to show you something. I have to reach over and fetch it. A little while ago, your colleagues gave me this. It's an amazingly beautiful sculpture, which Charles and Carl said This should remind you on a day-to-day basis who's on top. So right now, I've had it like this, with a bear on top of the bull. But is it time yet to put the bull on top of the bear so that I can be reminded on a daily basis where we are in the broad trend in the market? Can I flip this over yet?
I'm still trying to formulate. I follow, again, subscribe to the view that, you know, trying to anticipate and predict short-term movements is more or less impossible. When you're looking at the factors that are nibbling away in the background of the market, the market kind of mechanism, the market, the gubbings and kind of machinery of the market as such, it's very much hard to predict. So I would rather kind of respond to what we see over the next few days, rather than trying to kind of anticipate, you know, to any crazy degree what's happening. It's simply very, very interesting how the market has pushed all of those strategic lines and dynamics, right, and breaching them and kind of going over them. I don't subscribe to conspiracy theories and any of this kind of malarkey, just to qualify what I'm going to say now. But, you know, there are also large kind of hedge fund and bank algorithms participating and driving the markets consistently off of headline and historical kind of data points. And I think to a large degree, you know, the market has been overtaken by kind of macro algorithmic approaches in terms of dictating direction. So again, very, very hard to pin down and say whether you should flip your bull or your bear. I'd probably have them on the side at the moment and get ready to kind of give them a more thorough flip over the next week or so.
Is it a good time for investors to be buying U.S. stocks if you start managing the expectations into the future? You've said in the next week or so it's going to be important. We will see the results from Apple, from Amazon, from Alphabet, for instance, in this week. So there are a lot of these quarterly results that are going to affect people's thinkings and U.S. interest rates as well. Inflation will come up again. There's so many moving parts, but when you're sitting in an investable position, you've got R1,000, you've got your Easy Equities account. Should you be transferring that R1,000 into dollars and nibbling away at some of these popular shares?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think there's also, because that's quite a kind of important thing that you're kind of indicating there, and is that when a South African investor is investing in a US equity, they're also taking a view on the RAND to quite a large extent. And that can either, you know, as I know from listening to your shows over the years and your own personal experiences of portfolios, et cetera, you've been involved in, sometimes the RAND can be the making or the breaking of an offshore investment. So the first thing is to kind of come up with formulate as an individual, whether, you know, no matter how much money you're investing, whether, first of all, the dollar is where you want to be in relation to RAND. Now, you know, we know that it's also becomes a little bit problematic. We can see the kind of seaward direction, and we know the structural issues that we have at home here. So that's kind of like the first component before you even get to electing, you know, which US stock you want to kind of buy. So to resolve that part first, over the horizon that, you know, you're looking at. In terms of the US market, it really, again, it's like all roads kind of lead to Rome for this week, isn't it? We're going to get direction out of that, which is going to really indicate whether I think perhaps an individual should be more value or growth orientated in terms of stock selection. It's a case of, I think, the private or the kind of normal clients is kind of going to be embedded in the narrative or a narrative of some sort. You either accept the narrative that the market is feeding and or you kind of reject it and take another opinion. I think you have to be fairly careful about which sectors, you know, that you choose to vest in. This year we've had more or less the sectors which performed fairly well last year. We've had the kind of, you know, the opposite kind of scenario. So selection is going to be the key thing. Now, how a client selects, you know, the kind of investments that they should look at, again, depends on what we're looking at with this kind of inflation scenario, etc. Should you move more towards utilities? Should you move more towards tech and growth? I would tend to stray on the side of taking in this kind of period where it's hard to determine what's happening, stray on the side of taking ETFs, stateside ETFs, which are maybe vested in broader indices. The S&P PE is coming down. It's come down quite away from where we are. I think it's about 11.7712, something like that at the moment. Bit of the heat has been taken out of the market of the action of last year. So you're kind of, you know, if you go in and you buy an S&P ETF, you're buying it a third of the way through the decline of last year. So you're kind of, you're buying an investable portfolio as of second quarter 2021. So I say, you know, that's quite a compelling argument to make on that kind of side of things. And the S&P is always going to be beating out and producing the best possible stocks as part of the portfolio. So that part of the equation of balancing is kind of taken out of mind. That's a fairly, you know, conservative way of playing it.
Well, it seems like nobody really has the answers, but if you're going to look over the very long term, equities always outperform. And right now, the best deal to, or the best way to approach this from Mark Wilkes, who's the VP for Risk for Easy Equities, is go for the more conservative route, go for the S&P 500 index. Don't roll the dice on some of these tech stocks, even though they are down a lot. They've had a big rebound. It might be a good idea just to stick on the sidelines in the short term. Good talking with you, Mark. He is with Easy Equities, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.